The word deeper is a way of kind of illustrating that. It's something about, there's movement in the word deeper. There's something about extending. There's something about stretching. There's something about enlarging. There's something about discovering in the word deeper. That's why we've got this little person in here going into the water. And if you were to wear something like that, you can go quite deep in the water. See, the Bible is this big story of God interacting with men and women who keep going deeper with him, who keep trusting him. And we could have talked about all those different characters this morning and learned how they heard God and what they did in their following with God. But sometimes going deeper with God is a little bit like a swimming pool. And is anybody here a little bit afraid of water? There's a few people afraid of water here. So you wouldn't like to go into the water. You know, swimming pools normally have a shallow end, don't they? And you can go in, and pools these days, you can just go in and just get your little toes wet, can't you? And you can walk a little bit further and get your ankles wet. And you walk a little bit further and get your knees wet. And you can keep going until you get to the point where the water is right up to here. And you end up going like that. And then one more step, and all of a sudden, your feet don't touch the ground anymore. And that's the point where you think, well, what am I going to do? Am I going to sink or am I going to swim? And in our lives, we can get to those points sometimes where we get out of our comfort zone and we get to the point where I think it really is sink or swim. And we have to trust maybe in our abilities or if we've got armbands or a rubber ring with a duck on it, we have to trust that thing to take us a little bit deeper. Now, you could sit there and think, well, why on earth do we want to go deeper? I became a Christian, or I love God, I've ticked the box, so what's it all about? Well, here's three maybe reasons why we should. The first one is this, that every single one of us, if we are a Christian, we are on what we call a faith journey. We don't believe in this church that you just become a Christian, tick that little box and think, well, I'll just carry on with my life now. It's not like an app or an accessory. We believe that when you become a Christian, it changes your life from the inside out and it begins to affect every single area of your life, at home, at work, with your family, with your friends, with your work colleagues. It should affect everything. So we are on a faith journey and none of us have arrived. Some have been going on this journey for many, many years. Some are just starting out. But none of us have finished our faith journey. The second reason is this. We're all called to follow Jesus. If you read in the Gospels when Jesus is around, when he's first on the scene, he goes up to certain people and he says, hey, you, follow me. Hey, you, follow me. And it's almost like for us, we've had that same call ourselves where Jesus says, hey, you, follow me. And that talks about movement, going somewhere with Jesus. The third reason is that if we're following Jesus, we are encouraged to live like Jesus. Just take a look at this verse here. Just put that one up for me, John. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. So this morning, if you claim to be a Christian, you're really saying this. Yes, you're saying the first part. Yeah, I claim to live in Jesus. I'm a Christian. Well, the second part of the verse is, well, if you claim that, well, you should be living as Jesus did. Now, that's where it's kind of the rubber hits the road a little bit more. Am I living as Jesus lived? Now, there are some things I think, yeah, I could do that, what Jesus did. The eating bit and the drinking wine bit. Yeah, I do that. Jesus did that. I can do that. But some of the more challenging things that Jesus did, how about that? His wisdom that he had. How wise am I? The praying for people, just the love and the compassion and the mercy, all those kind of things that Jesus had. How are you doing? How am I doing with that? Just put the next slide up, because life in itself is a journey, isn't it? In this room here, we have all ages, don't we? Have little babies right through to grown-up, mature adults. I'm hoping to be one of those one day. One day when I'm older. But natural life starts small and it grows and grows and grows. And so is exactly the same in our spiritual life. We start off Jesus said we've got to be born again. And then we grow in our spiritual life. So it's all about moving on in God, trusting him, moving on with him. So over this term, our desire is that we look at three kind of areas about going deeper. And they are this. The first one is about inward. And these things are quite familiar with us if you're part of this church here. Looking at ourselves on the inside, allowing the Spirit of God maybe to say things to us on the inside of our lives. You know, I often describe it as it's being a Christian with nobody watching. It's very easy maybe to come here on a Sunday or go to a small group or any other meeting and do the external things, singing, putting your hands in the air, praying, all that. And I'm not knocking that, but it's more tricky to know what's a Christian on the inside like when nobody's looking, when nobody's around. Are you really being a Christian? And we're going to hope that over this term that God's going to maybe, by his Spirit, just have a little look on the inside. When Pete went into hospital, they had to put a little camera in, didn't they, Pete? Had a little look around. Well, maybe in the Spirit, over this term, God wants to take one of his little spiritual cameras and go and have a little look, not at your intestines and your bladder and all that kind of thing, but how's it on the inside? How's life in there? The next one is upward. Upward is something where we talk about us, our life connected with God. That's why we talk about sort of going up, like our relationship with God. How are you doing in your relationship with God? What are you doing to help feed your relationship with God? You know, if you were to look at your week, do you spend more time on Facebook than you do in the Bible? You know, the Bible says where your treasure is, there your heart is. And if you're treasuring those kind of things more than God, then only by his Spirit, he wants to challenge us a little bit on that. Now, he's not a mean, horrible God. God's a Father who loves us. And actually, he loves spending time with us. And he's never going to force himself on us. He's kind of saying, here I am. Here I am. Do you want to go a bit deeper with me? Maybe that's an area that God wants to challenge you on. The other area, the final area out of the three, is the outward one. What does that mean? That means about what we are doing individually or in groups or together as a church to tell others about Jesus. And all this can be quite challenging because there are some people who are just so good at it. You know, sometimes I talk to people, I say, I just can't help myself. I was on the bus the other day, or I was at work the other day, and I just started talking to somebody about Jesus. And it just came out, and I just told them this, and I said to them this and this, and I saw them thinking, how do you do that? How do you do that? You know, sometimes the only time you might hear the word Jesus when somebody might say it's a bit of like a swear word, isn't it? Do you say, ah, ha, ha, don't say that. He's a friend of mine. I don't know how you respond to that, and it's up for you and God to kind of deal with that. But it's really important that we, each one of us, find our where we're comfortable and then get to that point and say, well, maybe God, do I maybe need to go a little bit beyond it? Do I need to go a little bit deeper in that swimming pool there? Take my feet off the ground. And it is a little bit risky. I don't deny that it's not risky. I don't deny that it might be a little bit uncomfortable. The trouble is with our world today is that everything wants to be comfortable around us. Especially these days in the sales, when you can go out and you can buy a nice leather sofa with electronic reclining for under £1,000. It's so important for us, isn't it, these days? I've got to have the internet wherever I go. Sometimes people come to our house and the first thing they say is, could I have your password for your Wi-Fi, please? That's what they say. You know, have you ever done it? You go around, I've got a signal. Right, stand still, everybody, I've got a signal. Everything around us is trying to be so comfortable for us, but maybe we as God's people need to live a little bit different to that. And maybe God wants to do something in us so that we would rise up and be the church that he wants us to be in this nation. Oh, look, a little child with a David sticker on. The thing is, it's not about me trying to be a crafty salesperson and get you into a corner where you think, I've got no other option here. That is not what I'm trying to say. And if you know me, you'll know my heart in this is, it's all about what is God saying to you. It's what God's saying to us. Because I have found in my life that when God says something, I have a choice. How am I going to respond to that? And it's all about us putting ourselves in a position where we can say, Lord, I want you to speak to me here. I trust that you are a loving, good God and that you have the best for me. And maybe you understand things more than I understand things, but I want to put myself in that place of saying, Lord, if there's anything in my life that you want to speak to, address, touch, challenge, adjust, please do it. If you can get to that point, then I think God will then respond. And he can then adjust things how he wants to adjust things so that you and then we can become God's people, how he wants us to be for this season and for into the future. So that's what we're going to be doing between now and Easter. Now, to help us just sort of focus in on that, we're going to have bread and wine communion. Mark, do you think maybe just bring one of those tables here, and the second table is going to stay there? And as you come and take the bread and wine this morning, why do we do that? Well, we do that because this is a reminder. There's one over there. Thank you, Sue. So there's another station at the back there. We take this bread, we take this wine, because Jesus has told us to do that in remembrance of him. The bread represents his body that was broken for us. The wine represents his blood. This is non-alcoholic wine here. We take this because it reminds us again that Jesus is the head of the church, and Jesus is the reason why we are here this morning. So as you come and take this bread and wine, I've got something else that you might want to take away with you, which is here. It's a little bit of paper which just says, where does God want me to go deeper in 2012? And there's a little bit which says, inward, upward, and outward. And maybe you want to take that away and maybe just jot down a few things that the Holy Spirit might be saying to you. And you can tuck it in your Bible, and maybe you can come back to it. And I'll just leave them here. Over here on this table, this is our offering table. This morning, as it's the first Sunday we're together in this month, if you are part of this church, this is your church family, one of the things we like to do at the beginning of each month is to bring our tithes, our offerings to God. And that's going to be there, so please feel free to do that. So we've got communion over there, and here. Come when you're ready. Take the bread. Take the wine. I will pray first. And if you want to take one of these blue bits of paper, in fact, it might be good to have one on each table, mightn't it? Yeah, thank you, Joel. I'll just leave one here. Thank you so much. Let me pray, and then we can respond. Father God, we thank you that when we played that little game, we just saw very briefly a little snapshot of some men and women who trusted you, who did some amazing things. Each one of them went deeper with you. And this morning, as we think about this term and what we're going to be looking at as a church together, I pray that we would each come to that place ourselves of quietly asking you the question, where do you want to go deeper in my life? Where on the inward, where on the upward, where on the outward do you want me to go a little bit deeper with you? I pray we would be honest. I pray we would be real. And I pray that we would be open to all that you want to say and all that you want to do in us. We give you thanks this morning for this bread that represents your body that was broken for us. Where you went to the cross to die for our wrongdoings. We thank you that your blood was spilt. You gave up your life so that we could have life. And as we come and eat this bread, as we drink this wine, we want to remember that act that you did for us that has set us free and continues to set us free. Pray that in these few moments we would just be kind of reflective as we do this before you. We thank you for already speaking to us this morning about your spirit hovering and that you want to, you're whispering to us to let go of stuff and to cling to you this morning. And I pray that we do through this act, we would do that this morning.